All right. So continuing on, self-righteous woes. Self-righteous woes. And I'm going to kind of go over a quick review of what we went over. It was a lot last week. The key to this is, and it's something to warn us, but it's also something that you have to look into your teachers and leaders. And it looks into us as Christians. Today, Christians, especially the ones we allow to represent us, really come off self-righteous. It's really a bad thing. And actually, one of the worst sins, as the Bible shows, is self-righteousness. Okay, he told them, as we've seen, they're going to be punished most severely. So the two sins he really emphasizes that are going to be in the worst part of hell are self-righteous and those who distort his word. Okay, those are the most severe. I know we think, oh, it's going to be, has to be murderers and has to be rapists, has to be. I'm sure they're going to get bad, but the ones he really puts on is those who mess up his word and those who are self-righteous. He told the Pharisees and the religious leaders and Sadducees, basically, y'all going to hell. And not are you only going to hell, you're going to a severe part. So what this did, it broke down and showed us why. And the things we got to see, they were more about show. Okay? They demanded respect. I deserve. Okay? Understanding, we deserve nothing. Even ministers and pastors, I don't care. None of us deserve. I'm in an office honoring God. That's it. You owe me nothing, okay? You honor the office. Does that make sense? But you don't honor me because of me in any way. Does everybody get that? And I don't go where I deserve. And that's the big way that happens today with a lot of ministries and stuff like that. They want to get all the credit, and they want the best parking spaces, and they want the best, you know, the free meals, and they want special treatment in every case, and that's not right. They're self-serving and misleading in many ways, and what I mean by that is, ministries are usually based on something that'll make me and my life and my constituents happy. Very dangerous. In no way am I supposed to preach to a group to make that group happy. I'm supposed to preach the word. Y'all can hate the word. Doesn't matter. I still got to preach the word. I don't go, what is this group like? I can't preach that. This group won't like it. And in order to keep them in a church, I have. And that's a big dangerous thing that happens. And they usually hurt others in order to keep their strength. They go after the most vulnerable people, and it's a very common practice of this group of self-righteousness. They must have followers to completely follow them, and what I mean by that is they want people to buy all into them, into their label, into their medicine that they're selling, into whatever they're putting out there. So in other words, I'll get up here, and if I was this, preaching more of me. I want you to get my ideology, what I feel, and you follow my books and you follow what I'm, you understand that. And you have a group of people who follow me. And it's dangerous because that's a very common prop, because it's about me, as if God picked Keith because he's such a great person. Do you understand that? And it defines what is meaningful in spite of what God says. Now, what does that mean? It means, even though the Bible tells me what's right and what's wrong, and Sister Karen was saying it earlier, sometimes we'll compliment somebody, even as a Christian, based on how we think they should be as a Christian, while ignoring what God says they should be as a Christian. Like some of the attributes and some of the compliments we give people, and like she said, you heard some people say, this person was on fire for God. And usually that just meant you were excited or they were excited. And while somebody is quietly humble, and there's a verse that even tells you to live quietly and to do what you're supposed to. Instead of giving them credit, sometimes it's better just not to give any credit if you don't know how to give it. Do you understand that? And we give it wrong. You understand that? Because we do it based off of us, not off of what he says. Does that make sense? Our definition is based on us. And this is why you got to check the word, because if you don't know anybody, you'll get excited with them. Okay? And it becomes very dangerous. And you are wrong on what is really sacred, and you teach those wrong assumptions to others, truly misleading them. So in other words, a big thing they'll do is take parts out the Bible, and that's why you had some of them, there was some that used to teach, don't highlight in your Bibles. How dare you mess up the Word of God? Now, how many of you messed up the Word of God? Absolutely none of you. Nobody can mess up the Word of God by highlighting, even if you put a marker over it. You're touching a book that happens to contain the Word. Do y'all get what I'm saying? But some people make that book more sacred than the Word. How do I know that? Because they'll have that book and they'll carry it very lightly, but they'll never read it. You know what I'm saying? The sacred part of that book is receiving it, not carrying this book around saying I have the word of God. And it's doing absolutely you no good by not doing it. The person who's highlighting it to remember it, to study, that's, you get where I'm coming from. But you'll get those that will preach something in a way, and you'll get caught up, once again, in the physical way of looking at it and miss out on the more spiritual way. Right? And we miss out on what the Bible says instead of what God is really trying. I mean, and follow what these other people are saying instead of what God is really trying to give us. And then you act with no or wrong purpose, giving priority to something while ignoring others. And showing us where it showed, the example he used was this: the self-righteous sometimes will do, like, they'll give their tithe, and they'll make sure you know they give their tithe all the time, and they're good at it. However, he says they were horrible at showing justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And what will happen is they'll almost live in a way of, well, since I do this, give me that credit. Yeah, but you're not doing, no. I told you I'm doing this. Do you understand that? And God is saying, no. I expect you to do the whole package or don't do it at all. I think some of us are going in there thinking we're going to get credit for the stuff we're not doing based on the stuff we are doing. And that's how we're living our lives. We're living our lives in the mindset of, but I'm great at this, God, but you're totally not doing this, is what he's going to say. And you're like, but I'm great at this. Am I right? You understand? You know, you take an SAT test, they have the verbal and they have the math. And if somebody said, I'm going to kill the math, I'm going to ignore the verbal, you're going to do horrible on the SAT. Do you get where I'm coming from? It's you're going to do, but you're like, but I deserve credit because I killed the one side. And he's like, if you don't do the whole entire thing, do you understand that? And that's what he's showing us. And the self-righteous, usually, I want credit, even though I'm not even looking at this. Person, once again, who reveres and checks and honors God, I want the entire package. I want to honor you in everything that I do. And you only work on what is seen, not what's on the inside. So usually the self-righteous make sure when you see them, they look holy to you. But when you get to know them, that's why he says you'll know them by their fruit. You'll get to see right through it. If a Christian's really listening to our protection that the Bible gives, you know a person's fruit. And you got to go, oh, it's very easy to see. You understand? The reason why we don't see it is if we're walking by sight. We'll look for human attributes. You understand that? In other words, we know politicians will get up there and they're going to tell us what we want to hear, and we still vote for them only when they tell us what we want to hear. You know they're not going to do it. Do you understand that? And we do the same thing with Christians and with Christian leaders. A true Christian works on the inside, and that comes out on the outside. Do you understand that? It's displayed in that way. So that's where it kind of where we last left off. So we're the last one we did, or the one we're going to start on today, is you will fight to make sure you look good and right while being wrong. Okay. In other words, they'll argue they're wrong till the death to make themselves right. Does that make sense? Look what it says here in Matthew 23:27-28. Matthew 23:27-28 says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Now, once again, the key for a hypocrite, the Aramaic word for a hypocrite was an actor. And like I said, you ever see those on plays, when you go to see plays and they show those two masks? Those were the hypocrites, okay? And hypocrites was, this is what you see, but when I put on those masks, this is what I am now. And he's saying, you hypocrites, you're saying one thing while you're really, do y'all get where you see where I'm going with this? And that's why he called them hypocrites. He says, you know, woe to you, teachers of the law. And like I said before, when you see woe, that's, you don't want to be on the other end of woe. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. Now, he's showing, and this is a common problem today, we work on the look, don't we? We work on presentation and do nothing about the inside. Now, how do I know that? A lot of us will spend a whole lot of time working out, a whole lot of time on beauty, a whole lot of time on getting their haircuts, a whole lot of time on this. Very little to no time on the word. And even when we're with the word, we're still not doing it to get beautiful or whatever on the inside. And that's the more important part. Do y'all get this? That is by far the most important part. We should be in the word to get fed, to grow in the word. That's me cleaning inside. That's why he shows here. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. The reason why our insides don't change and people can tell our fruit is we've done nothing to the inside. If we really are serious, look at the time you devote on the inside, based on the word, versus on the outside, everything else you do. Your entertainment's part of your outside. Your relationship's part of your outside. Your job's part of your, all this, everything you think of that I invest outside is part of my outside, unless I'm doing it based on what I'm getting on the inside. And the only way I get that is by being in the word with purpose. Does that make sense? In other words, just going to church, meaningless. I still done nothing for the inside unless I came here to receive something, to be fed and grow. Do y'all get this? And this is what he's saying. What the religious leaders were doing, they knew how to put on the right show to make you go, wow, they're holy. I don't know if you look at the Catholics sometimes when the Pope and everything comes up, and just the robes and the whole demeanor and the whole pomp circumstances and everything that they do as they're walking, it's a show. And you know, people almost pass out and the way they look because of what they're presenting. Not knowing them personally, I don't know how they are internally, but you see, they have to put on that show externally. You know, people think, because I wear a cross, you're really going to think I'm holy. You know, because I do this or that, you're going to think I'm, and I'm displaying, I'm putting on a show. And he says, you hypocrites. That's what he's saying. You actors. You're really not showing what you are. However, if you recognize it, you'll see, if you remember the two that were praying, and you had the tax collector and you had the Pharisee in there, and the Pharisee was like, you know, thank you God for not making me like this doggone tax collector and making me this. And he's, you know, he's praising himself, while the tax collector, he couldn't even look up, and he was like, thank Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And that's how we're supposed to recognize. We live a life with an understanding of, I don't deserve any of this, and you're going into it to gain the grace that he's given us. But that's what the Pharisees were not doing. So breaking it down, it says, even when you are truly messed up, you want to give the impression that you are righteous. Did you catch that? Even when you're totally messed up, instead of, and a big part you'll know about this is when somebody tries to come and explain to you, have you ever had somebody that, and I'm talking about out of love, and this is why we have to be careful, because you have some people will tell you out of their opinion, but out of love, using the Bible, they'll try to tell you something that you're doing wrong, and you go into the defense mode, well, and the minute we go into that, why? Because I'm right. Right? You know, tell me I'm wrong. Instead of, oh, all right, well, thank you for that. Let me look into that. I appreciate that. Thank you for your love. You understand that? I want to fix that. And this is where he breaks it down. We'll claim to be right even when you're wrong. We'll not talk to someone who is trying to correct or rebuke you. You being right in others' eyes is more important than you serving God. So in other words, I'd rather say something wrong and everybody believe I'm right than for me to come out and go, I messed up. Why? Because I don't want you to go, oh, I don't want y'all thinking of me anyway. I want you to know, pastor's flawed, so make sure you give me the Bible, pastor. Not, pastor's brilliant. The pressure and the ignorance in that is dangerous. Do you understand that? If you think I'm great, I can close this Bible and just tell you anything. All right. And then if you give me all your money, unfortunately, cults start that way, but we have it in ministries, period, in which people follow the person and not the word. In fact, you should hold me accountable by, after you hear this, amen, love you, pastor, but I'm going to go check this. And then you come back, and I seen this in the word. I think that's how we're supposed to do it, to make sure it's not about me and it's about me giving the word. Does that make sense? Everybody got that? Okay. And then it says, your values and history trumps God. Watch what he says here in Matthew 23:29-32. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Once again, he starts off with that same thing, letting them know, This group, which was supposed to be the group everybody wanted to follow, he says they're a bunch of actors. He says, you build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. And look what Jesus responds with. So you testify against yourselves that you are descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of sin of your forefathers. Now what he's stressing here is they look, now if you notice, in the beginning, it says they build tombs for prophets and decorate the graves of the right. In other words, today they'll look like, yeah, we were always for God's people. You know, we were always there supporting them. We wouldn't have done what our people, while they're still doing it, it's just in a whole different form now. It's in a different way, but you're doing the same thing, is what he's saying. And you know what I mean? You learn, and you're following, when you see people of the wrong doing bad, or doing, you know, of the past doing bad, we just doing bad in a different way now, in a hidden way, instead of recognizing in a humble way, I'm ashamed of what happened, and I'm ashamed of what's going on. Look how it has here. It says, you have no problem. I want to make sure I read the rest of it. So you testify against yourselves and your descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then with the measure of the sin of your forefathers. And that's why you have no problem pointing out those who do wrong in the past, while in different ways you are making the same bad decisions. And it just comes in different forms today. So people who are Christians but still have cultural and or family traditions that are not in line with God. You ever notice that? You know, they'll still follow lines that are not following what God says, but their family is always, well, we've always done that. You hear that term, we've always, instead of going, well, that's been wrong. Even though we've always done it, that's wrong. Okay, magnifying the wrong others do in order to demean them while you spiritually kill others. In other words, I'll point out something that somebody else did wrong and not pointing out what I'm doing right now. You got what I'm saying? And I'm quick to point out what others are doing wrong and still not looking at where I'm. And we'll have other values, politics, traditions, history, so on and so forth, equal to or surpassing God's rule. That's a huge one. So what I mean by that is, in the past, they may have used kings. Today, we may use presidents. Do you understand it? But because they use kings, I would never let some dictator ever do that to me. And now we're going, but, you know, we'll love our politics. We'll love the people in that same way. The danger is what it is. In a humble way, a teacher is a servant. And we have to understand that it's about God. And if they did wrong, I don't want to follow in that pattern at all. You understand that? I want to make sure they understand I'm doing exactly what God is telling me, and I'm not letting the me get in the way. Does that make sense? Everybody got that? All right, so now, even though you recognize wrongs, I'm sorry, did I miss something? Oh, yeah, and then the other part on it. Even though you recognize wrongs of the past, you miss you are doing the same thing in a different way. And then we see the last one of this group. It shows Christ is trying to help the self-righteous. Okay, and he actually shows this in Matthew 23:33-36. He starts off with, "You snakes, you brood of vipers." Now, I know you're probably like, "Well, how is he helping them by calling them names?" And one thing Jesus didn't do, because this is not name calling, this is him letting them know what they are. Do y'all catch that? Remember, I said we can't call somebody a fool, but the Bible lets us know what a fool is. And Jesus, being the words, letting them know, this is what you guys are, not name calling. You know, when we call somebody a name, it's we want to hurt them. We're taking, but he's telling them, no, this is what you guys are right now. You guys are being just like the serpent of old. You know what I mean? You're something that can't be trusted. You're something that's very dangerous. You know what I mean? And when you talk about a snake, remember, because a snake, the way they have to eat, they have to be deceptive. They have to have venom. You know what I mean? He's just saying the way you guys are, you're in a very dangerous thing and you're attacking and killing a lot of people. That's what he's letting them know. Okay, so he's not name calling. I know some of us go, well, that was kind of harsh. No, he's telling them what they are. And hopefully they go, are we really? You know what I mean? Getting an understanding of it. He goes on to say, how will you escape being condemned to hell? So he's asking them, he's saying, you guys are living in this thing of deception. How are you going to escape hell? You are doomed for hell. Now, the reason why it's a warning is they're still alive, so they had an opportunity to repent, have an opportunity to turn around. He says, therefore, I'm sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill. He's already letting them know, I sent these people for you to get you out of doing what you're doing. Does everybody get that? In other words, to help you, I'm sending you prophets, wise men, and teachers. I'm sending this group of people for you. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from blood of the righteous Abel to blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altars. And these are people of old that he said, if you watch them, these people, these were supposed to be righteous people that were killing the true righteous people, if that makes sense. He says, I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. And this warning is coming to them of, you need to really think about what you're doing. Now, why this is so necessary is sometimes being in a position, it can fool us into thinking we're just automatically righteous. Some people, because they're like, it's like me being a minister, just thinking because I'm a minister, I got to pass. I don't care what I do, I'm going to heaven. You know what I mean? In a way of, because I'm doing this great work and I'm really doing this, not realizing you're in a mode that you have a bigger chance of messing up than everybody else. Does that make sense? It's like Moses did much less than what they did, and he got a severe punishment compared to what they did. Do y'all remember that? And he was put in a position of leadership. And that's the same thing for us in leadership. We have to understand we're servants, and we better be extremely careful. All right? God's not going to do what the world may do. Well, it's an honorable thing. It's hard for him to do it. We're going to give him, you know, all this stuff. He's going to basically go, how did you handle my word and my people? Does everybody get that? And this is what he's saying to them. He said, these guys acted like snakes and you were destroying my people. How are you going to get out of going to hell? Is what he's saying to them. Does that make sense? It should put a fear in us as teachers. And that's why I chose, even though Christ is sending people to save them, Christ prophesies most will not change and be punished. And that's the problem, especially when we get caught up in our self-righteousness. So he's showing in the end, it will be easier to be self-righteous in this day and age because it fits the times. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This verse we go over and over again because this is the prophecy we need to understand. We're deep in this. Okay. So when it starts off with, but mark this, and that's where your highlighter comes in. This is where in your mind it comes in. He says, there will be terrible times in the last days. And I told you in a young age, I used to read that and go, yeah, you know, I read it in Revelations. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the time we're in right now. And he says, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And look how he ends it with, having the form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And you take each of those traits and you break them down, and we've done that and we'll do it again in a future sermon. But if you look at each of those, it's actually talking about human characteristic. It's not talking about, and he's saying this characteristic is what's going to exist in those that are supposed to be Christians. That's why he says having the form of godliness. In other words, I walk around like the Christian, but denying his power. A true Christian lives based on the power of Christ. In other words, he says it, I'm doing it. That's me trusting in the power. But when I go, I want you to call me a Christian, but I'm not doing that. I won't be doing that. And I won't. That's me denying the power. He says have nothing to do with them. Unfortunately, we are just surrounded by them. And unfortunately, a lot of us are them. And that's where the danger comes in. So we must be very, very careful on how we deal and hold the teachers, hold me and hold any other teacher accountable for not allowing self-righteousness to lead the way. Amen? Any questions? All right. So now I do have